Next on BYUSN, welcome to Game Day Eve for BYU football and their Big 12 home opener. What would a win or a loss against 13th-ranked Kansas State mean for the Cougars' season? Plus, using simulations from the College Football 25 video game, we'll discuss what must happen in order for BYU to actually pull off the upset over the Wildcats.
Yeah, let's just play the video game. ESPN College Football analyst Brock Osweiler previews the K-State-BYU matchup. Where does he feel BYU holds an advantage? And it's week four of Big 12 Pick'em featuring Utah Jazz TV play-by-play and Kansas State grad Craig Bowlerjack. Buckle up!
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, September 20th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is taking dad drip lessons from one Steve Young.
So Steve tweeted the other day, "My kids think I have no drip, but they saw this pic, cue graphic, and now they're questioning reality." So I was hoping. That's a different one.
Okay,
it's Steve at a San Jose Sharks game. He's got tassels on his slip-ons, jeans, no belt, collared white shirt tucked in with a leather jacket. So he's got some drip.
Yes.
I don't understand why there's no belt. Here's the picture.
You
go. For our radio audience, you can always go to Steve Young's feed or watch the program on demand. Pretty awesome. Steve's got that drip. He's got the swagger wagon, which he talked about on our show, on Dan Patrick's show earlier this week, which is pretty funny. So Steve's got it.
I can't get over like the start of a mullet, right? It's just the beginning.
That's true.
Of
he always kind of had it long in the back, yeah. But not like mullet.
And the button-up white shirt tucked into jeans with no belt.
It kind of gives me vibes of like, I taught seminary this morning, and now I put on this jacket. I took off the tie, and this is how I roll.
It's fantastic. Now, the other tweet that we did show you, and again, we've incidentally showed you too, dealt with so many injuries in the Rams 49ers game this weekend.
Let's just throw it up.
And Steve's like, up. It's been 2 years. I'm still warming up in the parking lot.
Here it is.
Since the last time we brought it up.
So Adam Schefter tweets like all the injuries in the Niners-Rams game. Of course, Puka Nacua involved in that. And someone said, Steve Young, get ready. Bro, like 2 years later, I'm still warming up in the parking lot just in case. Steve still got it. We saw it in the alumni game. He can still throw it.
He can sling it. He threw an important touchdown pass in that game.
If it's like 15 yards and in, maybe. They were in the red zone.
He was then lifted on the shoulders of others.
Yes,
he was.
Yes.
A man
carried
on the shoulders of the people. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. BYUSN Saturday Night Lights for Kansas State and BYU.
And then they got a really good chance to upset this Kansas State team.
Bring on the Wildcats, the wideout. Speaking of drip, BYU rocking the throwback 1996 jerseys with the drop shadow in a wideout, Jerem. It will look fantastic in LaVell Edwards Stadium under those new brighter lights.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wear white to the game, by the way.
The scene will be remarkable. Please, if you are going to attend, yes, wear white. Just find anything white. Just show up.
This audience...
Follow the trend.
White shirts, we know that, at least for the dudes.
Absolutely they do. 8:30 p.m. kick time, Mountain Time Zone at LaVell Edwards Stadium. Again, the Big 12 opener for both teams. They're both 3-0 through non-conference play. So safe to say BYU is a 7-point underdog. If they can pull off the upset, it would be, in a word, massive. But how massive is what we're discussing today? What would a win tomorrow night against 13th-ranked Kansas State actually mean for BYU and their future season?
It would mean BYU jump in the top 25 next week. They would. I thought maybe they'd need to beat Baylor. No, they're in. You beat number 13, you're 4-0. You're in, baby. 1-0 in the Big 12. Now you're in the convo, if you win, to be interesting in the Big 12. Oh, is this BYU team a dark horse title contender? They just took down Kansas State. They're 4-0. That conversation would happen. It would also validate the idea that, remember, BYU didn't add a lot offensively in the portal in the offseason. That the continuity is working. That BYU as a team has come together after a 5-7 disappointing season. They've discovered a run game. There's improved play from Jake Retzloff. These receivers are really good. TJ Woods and Kevin Gilbride have done a nice job with the O-line tight ends and so on and so forth. That would continue. If BYU wins, the rhetoric of third downs conversions don't matter as much as the conversion downs of third and fourth, which has been a funny storyline. It would be massive. It would be awesome. top 15 wins for BYU and at home. Come on, man. Those are some of the best BYU wins that they've ever had. This would be a huge one. Also, it'd be only your third Big 12 win, Spence, and it'd be against a ranked Kansas State team and at home. This would be awesome because, remember, BYU went 2-7 in league. Like, Cincinnati and Texas Tech were one thing winning last year. Kansas State would be huge. BYU had that opportunity against Oklahoma at home last year. They had that opportunity at Oklahoma State last year. Can they finish off and beat Kansas State at home? It would be awesome, man.
I was looking at TikTok clips from the BYU Sports Nation account from earlier in the summer. I think it was right after you got back from your paternity leave. But we asked the question, what would qualify as BYU's best win of the season? Like, circle a date. And you clearly said, when they beat 13th or whatever Kansas State was ranked at the time, that would be the best win of the season. What does it mean for BYU? Well, they've just beaten, in many ways, the best team on their schedule. Not saying it would be the best win per se, because BYU could still go to Salt Lake City and win up there.
That would be the best win.
That would be the best win. But we were circling like, hey,
which one do you think
is actually going to happen here? And you circled that game and said that would be BYU's best win of the season.
I forgot that, dude. Thanks for bringing that up.
Kansas State, 30% chance right now. So if we're talking about hypotheticals, and we are, if BYU wins this game, now we're pushing into the 8-plus wins in the regular season conversation.
Yeah.
That comes full-fledged into the conversation.
Now we're going, 8 or 9 wins, question mark?
Yeah, we think they're going to win 7 games. Then this is one that BYU is not supposed to get. So then an 8-plus win season is now in the conversation, which is wild.
But wait, last year they were 4-1, 5-2.
Totally different.
They're playing different, and they would have a different kind of win. Like, beating Arkansas on the road was a good win, no matter what Arkansas is, and they stunk last year. Beating Kansas State, that is legit.
What was BYU's best win last season?
Was it Arkansas?
Against Texas Tech at 3-9 Arkansas?
I would say SEC road win is your best win.
Yeah. But even then, that was a struggling Arkansas team.
They go 3-9 or something?
Kansas State is going to win 9 games this season.
They're good.
They're going to be great all year.
It might be 8 if BYU wins Saturday. Last year, Arkansas was 4-8.
4-8. Yep. Okay. Yep. So was that BYU's best win on the road, SEC, but against a 4-8 team? This would be a different type of win.
Yep.
In fact, BYU winning at SMU, we think SMU is going to have a winning record, so they've already got what I believe is a better win than they had all of last year.
Amen. A Power 4 road win is always good.
Yes.
You want several of them, but when you only have one last year, you take it.
Better than beating a 6-6 Texas Tech team at home, for sure. So
with Spitgate.
We believe that BYU has already surpassed, in a way, in terms of quality, this year than what they did the entirety of last season.
Yes.
You go, man, you get BYU into the 8-plus win category.
And we're talking.
Holy cow. This is BYU, like, levels up if they beat Kansas State.
Yeah, absolutely.
They get into the rankings, as you pointed out.
I'm hearing Super Mario, like, the flag comes out. Yes, that would happen if BYU went Saturday.
BYU, if they're Mario, listen, they eat the cartoon mushroom, and they all of a sudden are, like, huge buff Mario. And people start talking about, could they beat Baylor and get to 5-0 before the bye week? And then is BYU a dark horse Big 12 championship contender? Then you got 2 weeks to prepare for an Arizona team that just got wiped out by Kansas State. Again, the blue goggles, and it won't be just BYU fans. It will be the national pundits who are putting on the blue goggles and saying, what is BYU?
Game day would start to talk about, hey, Big 12, what's going on with...
What is BYU? What's
going on with Utah there in Utah?
They were picked to win 4, maybe 5 games all season, and already they're 4-0 with a road win at SMU, and they have beaten Kansas State.
Beads of sweat start coming down for the Vegas guys. Oh, 4.5 win.
Like... Yes. This would take them to a new level.
This is all nice and dandy. We love it. But what would a loss mean for BYU?
Status quo, on track. Like, it's exactly where I expected BYU to be after 4 games, 3-1.
Yeah.
So I did not have this circled as like, oh, BYU's going to win this game. We were not bullish like we were with the non-conference. You and I said, they're going to go 3-0.
We were bullish on beating SMU.
They're going to figure it out.
Yes.
I had them 3-1 through 4 games, and then with a huge game at Baylor pending. That just makes that Baylor game the following week that much more important.
Because
you got to get to 4-1 going into the bye week before Arizona comes to Provo.
I think you need it anyway. No, I'm with you. Kansas State's one of the top 4 toughest games on the schedule. Let's walk through them. At Utah, UCF, Oklahoma State at home, Kansas State. Those are your top 4 toughest games. I'd probably put Arizona at number five there. So it's not a game you're supposed to win. Frankly, in those four game spans, I'm really hoping BYU gets at least one win. Zero would be very disappointing. Two would be exceeding expectations. I expect BYU to win one of those four. I do. BYU's pretty healthy right now. Is this BYU's best shot to beat one of those four, Spence? At home, 3-0, feeling the juice? Or is it a later game where maybe LJ Martin and Hinkley Ropati are healthier? What do you think?
This is tough because BYU statistically and in recent history, they've been so good in September. Mm-hmm. This is very much a September game. They have two more September games, as a matter of fact. They could technically be 5-0 before they get to October.
That'd be sweet.
Which is crazy.
Let's go.
So I like the trend of BYU playing well early in the season, but the injury concerns to the running backs, is it their best shot at getting a win like this?
Of those four, is it the best shot?
Maybe.
I think it is.
Maybe. Yeah, because it's early and you do have more health even with the running backs.
Minus the running backs, you're very healthy, right? Mori Bamba hasn't played quite yet, but that's kind of it.
He's questionable. He might make his debut.
Right. Sonny Macasina missed last week at right guard. Austin Lewis who played, but BYU's pretty healthy. And BYU, early in the season, hope is high. And obviously in Independence, you felt like, okay, we got to have like a one-loss year to do anything like special. So you're still excited about it. Once you lose twice, you're like, we're in the whatever bowl now. Now that's different being in the Big 12. Now you're competing for a conference championship. Now you've got these big games. I think it's BYU's best shot to pick off one of those four right now.
Wow.
Because you've got the Hall of Fame weekend. You got like Brian Billick back in town. And you got the retro unis and the cougar tail thing. And it's warm and the whole deal. I think this is a great opportunity for BYU. A loss certainly would be tough, but not unexpected. Because honestly, if you go 4-1, you're still above expectation.
They're already above expectations.
Right, but right? if you lose and then you beat Baylor, you are above expectations.
Yes.
You have three road wins, two versus P4s. You're 4-1 going into bye week. Wow.
And feeling very confident that you're going to beat Arizona after 2 weeks of preparation at home.
And you're getting LJ and Hinkley healthy. Let's go. I'd take 4-1 right now. Like if you said it's 4-1, I'm not going to tell you what Kansas State was or Baylor, but you're 4-1. I would say give it to me right now.
5-1. 5-1 is not that crazy for BYU, for this team. The way the next three games are laid out.
And the way they've played so far.
And the way we have seen some other teams play.
Yes. Arizona, I think that's going to be an anomaly for them. Like I don't know that they're like a top 4 or 5 team in the Big 12 right now, but I need to see a little more from them. They look silly against Kansas State, but Kansas State's good. They do that to teams.
Yes.
The hope is that they don't in the Ballard Stadium tomorrow
night.
Yeah,
what does the home field mean for BYU?
Arizona couldn't run the ball, so they just had to chuck it. They got from behind, punt return touchdown by Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
Like it got loose.
Kansas State
it got
did
loose.
What they do. There's so many teams.
Don't let them.
Beat you with special teams, and they stop the run.
Yeah.
Just with toughness and defense.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, it's the idea of leveling up is super fun, but if they lose, then I think we agree, still on track.
And I want a competitive loss if it's that. I don't want to be like, 31-17.
Iowa State last year.
Definitely not that. Never. Never.
You feel like the game's over midway through the second quarter.
BYU's not playing Georgia, okay? Like, Kansas State's very good, but this is a game that BYU can compete in very well.
Okay, yeah. Let's have some fun with numbers. For our next topic, our producer Colton Potter simulated the Kansas State-BYU game 3 separate times on College Football 25. He's going to present the numbers as a box score, and we will discuss if we think BYU won the game based on the numbers and how likely some of these things are to happen tomorrow night.
So let's look at the graphic, and then let's discuss, do we think BYU won this game based on these numbers?
All right, so box score number one.
Okay.
BYU has 438 yards of total offense, 181 rushing, 4.7 yards per carry average, 254 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 6 of 14 on third down, which has not been the case for BYU this season.
No turnovers.
More importantly, 0 turnovers overall. Compared to Kansas State with 368 yards of total offense, they do outrush BYU by 8 yards, but they only throw for 179 passing.
Which is above their average, by the way.
They're 43% on third down at 7 of 16, and they have 1 turnover.
Does BYU win this game with these numbers?
BYU win this game.
It could be a close loss. Like, it could be a close loss.
I'm going to say 2-point win for BYU because they win the turnover margin here and they outgain Kansas State by 70 yards.
I'm going to say Kansas State wins by within one score.
Okay.
What is it?
All right.
We don't
roll
know
out the final score. We don't know the final score. Box score number, we don't know.
Oh, BYU wins by 8.
BYU wins by 8, 24-16.
That is a grinder of a game, right? Like, BYU put up 438, but the defense was really good. I like that idea. Can BYU run for 4.7 is a question. If LJ and Hinkley can't go.
Can BYU run for 3.7 against Kansas State's front per carry?
Right.
Okay, that's a real question.
Box score 2. Total low for BYU, 383, 167 rush. 5 yards of carry, 216 passing, but 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. 30% on third downs, 2 turnovers. Kansas State, 357 total, 228 rush, which they rush for over 200. They're good. 5.1. Yards per carry, 129 pass, 1 TD, 1 pick, 11 of 19 on third downs. No turnovers. I think this is probably a 2-score Kansas State win.
This is a Kansas State win. They're because plus of the 2 in the turnover margin. They rush for 228.
I know the passing was low, but on third down they're moving the ball. A lot of time of possession in this game.
It's relatively low scoring here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Kansas State 24, BYU 13. In this game.
2-score Kansas State win.
24-13 Kansas State. What's the final score of box score number 2?
Oh,
oh my gosh.
They were very – oh, garbage touchdown by BYU late to cover, by the way.
31-30 Kansas State winner. Surprise. A 1-point Kansas State winner, even though BYU turned it over twice and Kansas State didn't.
I like this exercise because obviously the numbers don't tell you the entire story. But, yeah, Kansas State would win in that scenario. BYU sub 400. Does BYU need to be over 400 yards to win against Kansas State? You think the defense could hold?
Field position will. This game is a field position game and a turnovers game. That will carry so much weight against them.
And it's not guaranteed that BYU wins if they're over 400 because there could be garbage yards
for
if they're
sure.
down 2 scores.
No,
late.
It's about field position, opportunities with that field position, and taking care of the ball against.
There was
Kansas
a pick
State.
6 in this game, by the way. We're told so that there was a terminal turnover, and it ends up costing
BYU.
You.
Can't, yeah. If there's a terminal turnover for BYU tomorrow, they will not win the game.
That emphatic.
That Kansas State.
Well, BYU win if they have a terminal.
If they turn Kansas
away.
State over and score a touchdown.
Yes.
Yes. I think absolutely.
One of those,
that
what about
is
a special
clear
teams
advantage.
Touchdown? Same feel. Like if one team has a special team touchdown,
that
will they win?
And Kansas State's going to win if they have a special team.
Well,
touchdown.
I'm saying one
BYU,
team both.
Yes. Same thing. Okay. Like a special teams touchdown feels kind of like a terminal turnover touchdown.
Yeah.
It's just such a momentum-shifting play.
It's a huge non-offensive
huge
touchdown.
Shift in momentum and the feel of the game.
By the way, Kansas State has had a non-offensive touchdown in each of the 3 games.
Let's hope it doesn't happen tomorrow night. Okay, box score number 3.
I really enjoy this, by the way. This
BYU with 436 yards of total offense. They rush for 183, 4.3 yards per carry. Pass for 253. 3 touchdown passes, 1 pick, 7 of 18, 38% on third down.
Final
one
OT!
Turnover.
We got an
one
OT game.
And an overtime. Wow.
You shouldn't have told us it was OT.
Kansas State, 391 yards of total offense. They rush for 216 at 5.5 yards per clip.
Yep.
175 passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. They're 3-for-12 on third down at 25%, and they turn the ball over twice. Again, I'm going to give the advantage to BYU because they win the turnover margin, and they outgain them by, what, roughly 45 yards?
Yeah.
BYU by a field goal in overtime right here.
31-28. Let's say 31-28.
31-28. Yeah.
We have no idea, by the way.
37-34. So it is BYU by a field goal.
It is. You guessed that right. Very nice. Oh, man. Let's go. I don't see how. Yeah, if Kansas State runs for 5.5 yards per carry, I don't see how it gets to OT.
Well, 2 turnovers.
Two turnovers could swing it, right? Does the BYU defense need to win this game, Spence, more than the offense?
They have to limit Avery Johnson.
To what? What are you thinking? Like total offense? He's averaging 236?
Yeah, I was going to say under 200
under
yards 200. Of total offense.
Okay.
From him specifically.
He's 225 a game total.
Yeah, under he's got to be.
Which isn't super high, by
no,
the way.
He's got to be under 200 yards of total offense.
They have 2 great running backs. We'll break that down coming up with Brock Osweiler. But, hey, fun exercise. You don't always know the story. Like, we're guessing, based on this. This is a,
Okay, our question of the day. What would a win over 13th-ranked Kansas State mean for BYU football's season? At Coronado Zach on X answers confirms BYU can play with and end up in the top half of the conference. And yes, to a bowl game.
I love that.
Would this mean BYU is a top half finisher in conference? You beat Kansas State?
You're certainly pacing for that.
Like, oh.
You open with a win over one of the top three or four teams
against
a
team
league
that many people believe will win the conference.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, Reddit College Football. Continue to weigh in, by the way. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Reddit College Football posted this map of which teams fan bases view as their primary rival, which is pretty funny. BYU on kind of the left third there. Utah State, BYU, BYU in Utah. Thank you, John. I was surprised that Utah and Colorado.
Where's the arrow from Wyoming to BYU?
Yeah, wait a minute. There's some funny interactions here. Like Fresno State has like four teams.
Yeah, what?
Three or four teams. Yeah,
but
four
they're
teams.
Like, yeah.
Boise State, San Jose State. All these Pac-12 teams with Fresno State. What do you make of this map? Did they get it right?
I think they got it right with BYU for sure.
This is a great map. Look at Alabama.
And Texas.
Penn State.
Texas and Alabama both have three big-time rivals. Yeah, I think that's actually, as funny as it looks with some of the squiggly lines and how that all works, it looks good. USC, like the
USC
longest.
USC Notre Dame.
What's the longest line? Is it Navy and Air Force?
Southern Miss goes around the lower right up to East Carolina.
Navy goes
Air Force,
all
Navy.
The way to Air Force in Colorado Springs.
Yes.
That's probably the longest line.
Look at the upper left. Wazoo to Washington. Washington down to Oregon. Oregon to Oregon State.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, the circle of life in college football and rivalries. Yeah, I think they got it right for BYU specifically.
That's
really, really fun stuff.
Lots of pregame coverage coming up tomorrow. Full 2 hours on BYU TV and BYU Radio starting at 8:30 Eastern time with BYU Sports Nation Game Days featuring your boy, Spencer Linton. Cougar pregame live as well, 8:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. And then the game on ESPN and BYU Radio, late kick, 10:30 Eastern.
Still on the way on a busy Friday show, ESPN college football analyst Brock Osweiler will call the game tomorrow. He goes one-on-one with Jerem Jordan to discuss what he specifically is watching for in tomorrow night's Big 12 opener between the Cougars and Wildcats. This is BYUSN.
I'm excited for it. What does it mean? It means BYU is going to compete with Kansas State.
We've got our full attention and focus, obviously. Super good team coming in here Saturday.
We're one of the best defenses in college football the last 3 years. We have a big challenge on our hands.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Game day eve!
Game day, baby. On the call tomorrow night on ESPN is Brock Osweiler, the great Arizona State Sun Devil who played in the NFL as well. He's been on the program before, but I talked to him earlier this morning about the BYU-Kansas State matchup. Of course, the quarterbacks, the running backs, third downs, LES, Cougar Tales, everything. Here's that conversation with Brock. Brock, welcome back to the program. Great to have you on the show again.
Thank you, Jerem. Great to be back.
Okay, let's talk about BYU and Kansas State. This is a huge game for both teams. Kansas State, one of the preseason picks to be in contention for the title. Meanwhile, BYU surprising people at 3-0. What do you make of the matchup?
Well, I think for starters, and there's a lot of meat and potatoes with this matchup. But I think the most important thing to note is I just think it's going to be a great game. You just mentioned it. Kansas State coming into the season, one of the favorites to win the Big 12 Conference. And if you watch their first three games of the season, you see why. They have maybe a generational talent at quarterback, two great running backs, physical offensive line, good defense, creating turnovers, very veteran-looking team. And then on the other hand, I don't really need to explain BYU to you or your fan base. I think you guys know your team very well. But I think the biggest thing to note is, coming from last year where you missed the bowl game, which is, very unlike a BYU football team, the team looks completely different this year. You're getting really good quarterback play. You've established the run game on the offensive side of the ball. And then with that, you're starting to hit some shot plays down the field, right? Kind of the typical MO of a great BYU football team. Let's be physical up front. And let's take some shots and connect on those down the field. And you guys have done a tremendous job of that through the first three games. And so, when you combine two undefeated teams, conference game, Lavelle Edwards Stadium under the lights, whiteout, I think it's going to be a fantastic game and an even better atmosphere. And I can't wait to get up there and call the game.
And we can't wait for you to get here. It's going to be fun. The retro unis from the 96 BYU team that went 14-1 is fun because that team beat Kansas State in the Cotton Bowl. In comes Kansas State. Perfectly timed. A little bit of snark, which I like. The quarterback matchup's going to be fun in this one. You mentioned Jake Retzlaff for BYU putting up 318 of total low a week, which is pretty good. Avery Johnson, who stayed home to go to Kansas State, was heavily recruited nationally. What do you make of that matchup? And does Jake Retzlaff have to out total offense Avery Johnson for BYU to win?
Yeah, in some ways, yes. I really do think that is the matchup of this game. You know, if you watch how both football teams have operated through the first three games, everything goes through the quarterback position, whether that's in the pass game, quarterback designed runs, zone read schemes where the quarterback has an opportunity to pull the football, and then you go to the RPO scheme where there's the run pass option. So really everything goes through these quarterbacks. The thing that's impressed me about Jake early on in this season is compared to last year, he's getting the football out very quickly. You can tell that he's confident. He's seeing the field very, very well. And especially last week against Wyoming, I was super impressed with how fast that ball was getting out of his hand. He was making good, quick decisions. And then, you know, the run game was established from there. And then when it was time to take shots down the field, you know, Jake was connecting and being very accurate with his throws. You know, flip it over to Avery Johnson. You just mentioned it. Very, very highly recruited. Every single school in the country offered him a scholarship, wanted him to go play for them. But like you said, he stayed home, which I think is really special. He's from Kansas, and you can tell playing for Kansas State means a lot to him. And I think one of the best examples of how good this sophomore quarterback is, you know, you have to think about who was the starter for Kansas State last year. And that was Will Howard. And Will Howard had a fantastic year at the quarterback position, had an opportunity to go into the NFL. He would have been drafted. But instead, he's the starting quarterback at Ohio State this year. So I think that says everything about who Avery Johnson is. The fact that he pushed out a kid who had already been a multi-year starter, and now that quarterback's starting at Ohio State, and Kansas State was completely fine with it. There's obviously a ton of respect and appreciation for Will, and you, those conversations between Coach Klieman and Will are very well documented. You can find them online. But I think it just shows how much talent Avery has. And I think one more thing to put on top of that, there has been a Big 12 coach that's been quoted saying that he thinks he reminds him of a young Lamar Jackson. So I think that's very high praise, and I think you're going to see two great quarterbacks duel it out tomorrow night.
He's a right-handed sunshine from Remember the Titans with the hair to me. It's fun to watch, 100%. Man. The run game of Kansas State is notable. DJ Giddens, Dylan Edwards, those guys are dynamic. Dylan, of course, with the punt return touchdown last week against Arizona. Kansas State made Arizona look silly, and Arizona was supposed to be good, and they were good. They had a 9-game win streak. How does BYU slow down Kansas State, who's running for 244 a game? Do they need to make Kansas State pass because it's only 167 a game right now?
You just hit the nail on the head. I think in order to keep up with the points that Kansas State is used to putting on the board, you have to take away their security blanket, their comfort zone. And it's, you know, everybody in the stadium is going to know it. Kansas State, they want to come in and establish the run. And that's what they do week in and week out. And there's really a three-headed monster in the backfield. You mentioned the name. So you have Avery Johnson at quarterback, Dylan Edwards at running back. He's kind of the speedster. You know, you give him any sort of space and he's gone. And then DJ Giddens is really, to me, when I watch him on film, reminds me of a true three-down back, NFL style, good hands. They use him a lot in the pass game. He's physical. He can run between the tackles. So when you have those three guys in the backfield together, and there's a lot of personnel groupings where all three of them are on the field at the same time, you know, they're doing that because they want to run the football. So if you're BYU, I think your best chance to win this football game, you have to control the line of scrimmage, and you have to find a way to take away the run game. And more than likely, that means bringing an extra safety into the box, playing man-to-man defense, and saying, hey, listen, we're going to load up the box. We're going to leave our corners on islands, but hey, beat us through the pass game. Because you just mentioned it, Kansas State's averaging about 170 yards per game through the air. So they've been efficient. Avery has done a great job of protecting the football. I believe he only has one interception on the season. But you have to test Avery. And Avery is a true sophomore. Started one game a season ago, although he had some solid playing time. The start came in the final game of the year in the bowl game. And then you look at where they played this year. He's never played in an environment like Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And obviously, like I said, he's a once-in-a-generation talent. But until you go into a stadium like Lavelle Edwards and prove that you can win and play composed and poised in that environment, you got to test the young kid.
BYU has wrecked some opposing quarterbacks whose first kind of major road start was in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, to your point. I can't wait to see it. Of note, as you mentioned, receiving. No receivers have a touchdown catch this year for Kansas State. They have four to tight ends, two to running backs. BYU has not allowed a passing touchdown period in three games, which would be a fun matchup. I want to ask you about this. Are you weirded out by BYU's third down numbers, 28%, yet on fourth down, 8 of 10?
Yeah, you know, I heard Kalani talk about that in his press conference this week. You know, the media was getting on him a little bit about the third down success rate, but he goes, hey, you know, look at what we're doing on fourth down. I would say this. I don't get too caught up in the numbers throughout the first month of the season. You know, weeks one and two, because there's no preseason games in college football, as we know, you know, a lot of teams are working out some kinks, knocking off the rust, figuring out what their identity is going to be. And in that regard, okay, who's going to be the go-to guy on third down? What do we do best in the pass game? Can we run the football on third and short to pick up these, or do we need to get the ball in the air? So to me, I don't put much concern on it. You look at Kansas State, they're hovering right around 30% on third down as well, but they're undefeated, and they're putting up points on the board. So I'm not going to pay too much attention to those numbers, but as we get into October and especially later in the month, I think those numbers will be very telling of how much success you're having.
Brock Osweiser's on BYU Sports Nation. You can catch him on the call on ESPN coming up Saturday night. It is a late one. You talked about this. 8:30 Mountain Time for Kansas State. It's 9:30 local time. It's Elevation, it's Retro Unis, it's the Cougar Tail vanilla flavor they're throwing out there as well with the maple. That kind of environment, what kind of influence, as you mentioned, can that have on a game that BYU wants to win to validate its start?
I think the environment can have a huge impact on the game. You know, Kansas State has been a very good football program for a very long time. And Coach Klieman, their head coach, you know, he's no stranger to winning. You look at the success he had at North Dakota State and what he's brought to Kansas State. So, you know, he's going to have his football team ready to go. And for the most part, the Wildcats are a very veteran-led football team. But the one pivotal piece, like I already spoke about, it's the quarterback. He's a true sophomore. I believe this will be his fifth career start. He's never played in an environment like this. So, you know, the fans can play a major role in this football game. And you know, I tell you, it's one of those deals. You know, obviously last year for you guys, the season didn't go as planned. But making the transition into the Big 12, you knew there was going to be some hiccups. There was going to be a learning curve and things like that. And you return a lot of those guys. And so I almost view this as, and without being in the locker room and knowing this, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but if I was in that locker room, I'm looking at this as a chance to really kind of get a program-defining win in the Big 12 Conference. And if you can pull this off at home in front of your great fan base that you guys always have, you know, this can generate a lot of momentum for the rest of the season and really help with where you guys go.
Hey, 2-7 last year. This would be a big one for the third one against a ranked team. Let's go. Last but not least, your Sun Devils are 3-0 after going 3-9 last year. What do you make of Sam Levitt, whose brother Dallin played at BYU for a bit? Cam Scataboo and the boys at Texas Tech this week.
Yeah, well, shoot, Cam Scataboo, let's start there. Wow. If you've yet to watch Cam Scataboo play football, whether you're an Arizona State fan or not, turn it on. If you love football, you're going to love the way that that kid plays. He's given it his all every single snap from the running back position, which is just such a treat to watch. But yeah, hats off to Kenny Dillingham and his staff at this point and the rest of the team. Big turnaround from last year, you know, 3-0, had a good battle with Texas State last week on the road. And it's been a phenomenal start, but now I think you'll really get the benchmark of where Coach Dillingham and his team in year two, where they are, similar to BYU transitioning into the Big 12. Now that you get into conference play, I think this is where you'll really find out where your program stands.
Hey, we're looking forward to homecoming in Tempe there on November 23rd, BYU and Arizona State. Hey, let's get you on the call for that one. Brock, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight, and have a great call Saturday night.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Brock Osweiler of ESPN. Number 19 women's volleyball will host Utah Valley tomorrow night at the Smithfield House, 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Excited to call that one. Tonight they play at Weber State, also on ESPN+. Good luck to the ladies.
Let's rewind and enjoy some Cougar football history after the break. What happened on this date, September 20th? It's a hint on your TVs. This is BYU Sports Nation.
The radio, they're like, what is it?
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B on a game day eve. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Let's rewind. Turn back the clock. It's a throwback Friday, if you will. It's a new thing, okay? We're celebrating 100 seasons of BYU football, looking back at some of the best games, moments, plays. What happened on September 20th?
2014, BYU welcomes Virginia into Lavelle Edwards Stadium, number 21 in the country. Taysom Hill, how about this? Oh, get off me. Get off me! Second half, 15-yard run by Taysom Hill. That nasty stiff arm gave BYU a 20-16 lead.
In the fourth quarter, more Taysom Hill, please. Searching for Mitchell Juergens and finding him. 50-yard touchdown pass that gave BYU a 34-19 lead. Hey, it was a wideout, Jerem. It was so hot that day, too. And remember this? Until Keelan Marion did it last Saturday night, this was the last kickoff return for a touchdown for BYU from Adam Heaney.
You're looking at my Heaney, but my name is Heaney.
BYU wins 41-33. They were weirdly outgained 519-332 in this game.
Garbage yards.
But dominated the score.
Yeah.
Good times. Let's just cut off the moment right there, right? And BYU was
3-0. If only that season.
Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 13, Kansas State gets BYU tomorrow night in the Big 12 opener. Cougars 6.5-point dog, 30% chance to win from ESPN's FPI. Pre-game coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio, with the game at 10:30 Eastern on ESPN and BYU Radio.
On to Cougars in the NFL, part one. Fred Warner and the 49ers take on the Rams, who will be without Puka Nacua for a second straight game, who is on the injured reserve. Kingsley Suamataia, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Atlanta Falcons, Tyler Allgeier on Sunday Night Football. Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and the Saints, the Red Hot Saints, host the Eagles. Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens, amazing he's playing with an orbital fracture.
Crazy.
Will look to get their first win of the season against the struggling Dallas Cowboys.
How about them? Zach Wilson and the Broncos head to Tampa Bay to face the Bucks. Zane Anderson, Chris Brooks, and the Packers travel to Nashville to play the Titans. Blake Freeland and the Colts host the Bears. Brady Christensen and the Panthers with Andy Dalton, the quarterback, play the Las Vegas Raiders. Kyrus Tonga and the Cardinals will host the Lions. That's a good game. Also, the Minnesota Vikings signed Max Thule to the practice squad.
BYU women's soccer loses last night on the road in Fort Worth against TCU 4-1. Allie Fryer back. Good to have her back. And she scored BYU's lone goal. It led the game at the moment in the 19th minute. Third goal of the season. But with the loss, BYU drops to 3 wins, 4 losses, 2 ties overall. They're 1-1 in Big 12 play. Up next, big match at Southfield on Monday against Utah.
Number 19 women's volleyball plays a pair of games against in-state teams this weekend at Weber State tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Then tomorrow against Utah Valley at 8 Eastern on ESPN+ at home. By the way, BYU's 3 opponents this week all played for the BYU men's volleyball team, the coaches of those respective.
Wow. All right. Women's tennis sends Su Yan Tan, Kendall Kovic, and Bobo Huang to the ITA All-American Championships beginning tomorrow in beautiful Cary, North Carolina. After the break, more of your responses. What would a win for BYU football against 13th-ranked Kansas State mean for the direction of BYU's overall season? This is BYU Sports Nation. We are live once again in Studio B on a game day eve, BYU and Kansas State tomorrow night. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Our question of the day, what would a win for BYU tomorrow against the 13th-ranked Wildcats mean for BYU's overall season? Eric.McAllister on Instagram answers, it would put BYU with the rest of the favorites to win the conference. Mm. Win and the sky's the limit in the Big 12 in 2024. You know what it does? It makes us say, maybe football is doing something like basketball did.
Yeah.
Where they're way ahead of the curve and they're out to shock the world.
I'll need more volume, but we start to have that and see that conversation form of like, okay, BYU's 4-0. Now they have to win at Baylor the next week, by the way, to keep it going.
Yes.
Right?
Our elite,
you can't lose at Baylor, but be kids at home.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Will Bickman on X, who says, quote, expectations for the season get even higher. It's no longer just make a bowl game. It's can you get to 8+ wins?
Yep.
We talked about it in the opening segment.
Agreed.
You go to that next level if you beat a team that on paper you are not supposed to beat.
And it's different than last year. It's different than last year's 4-1, 5-2 start where you lose 5 in a row. It's different.
Yes.
BYU has a run
100%.
Game. Not relying on turnovers, which can sometimes be lucky.
You have a road win at SMU and then a home win against what many people believe is the conference favorite, Kansas State.
It'd be big time.
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Congrats to the Hall of Fame inductees tonight. Spencer Linton emceeing, as always. Brian Billick, Lacey Kramer, Blizzard from track, Jennifer Hampson, volleyball and basketball, Matt Payne, football, Dave Rose, of course, legendary basketball coach on the men's side, and Futi Tavana from volleyball as well. It's going to be a fun night.
This is a loaded class.
Oh, when I saw this, I was like, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
That's going to be a ton of fun tonight.
All the Hall of Fame inductees are amazing. It just so happens that there's a group of like
Billick
legendary players going.
Jen Hansen might be your greatest women's player ever, All-American in two sports, Sweet 16, national title game in basketball and volleyball. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Wild.
Have fun tonight. It'll be great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, if you want post-game coverage of BYU Kansas State, of course, you can always catch it on BYU TV and BYU Radio. We've got you right after the game ends. Of course, before the game, check it out tomorrow night, and hopefully BYU wins, and you're hearing the winners talk to Spence.
After the break, bring on week 4 of our Big 12 Pick'em segment.
Yeah.
This week's guest picker is the great Craig Bowlerjack.
Let's go.
This is BYU Sports Nation. Buckle up!
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, doing it live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton, and it is time for one of our favorite segments all week. It's right there with Know the Foe. It is Big 12 Pick'em, and we're bringing in our good friend Craig Bowlerjack.
Yeah.
He's going to join us for this. As we recap what's been happening over the past few weeks, Jerem, you're 15-5 overall. I'm 14-6. Let's take a look at the guest picker so Bowler has an idea of what he's trying to chase down here.
Yeah, you're chasing. Hey, we've been pretty good. But Kenneth Rooks, the silver medalist in the steeplechase, went 5-2 last week. Kevin Young, 4-3. Jonathan Tavernari, 3-3. Bowler is aiming for a 6-1 or 7-0 week. Bowler, do you think you can do it?
Let's reap it. Oh, this is tough. You know, I love to guess and you think, but you never know about home field. You never know about, you know, turnovers and injury and all the above, but it's fun to pick them and to see actually what turns out. This week, I think on my list, I picked a couple of sleepers on the road, and I'm anxious to kind of see how this plays out. The road, as you guys know, difficult place. I mean, Lavelle Edwards Stadium, I called games there for 10 years back in the 90s, and I love the energy in that building. Mm. And it's going to be rocking against my alma mater,
yeah.
Kansas State.
We can see the sticker, yeah.
You're repping Kansas State. Hey, look, for those that aren't familiar with Craig, we're talking about a legendary broadcaster, voice of the Utah Jazz right now. He mentioned he called BYU games for a decade. Football player, Kansas State, and Craig, we're just thrilled to have you with us. So, you ready to go? Should we make some picks?
Let's pick them.
All right. It's pretty simple for those watching. We pick a winner straight up head to head, and we're beginning with game number one, which is one of the biggest games all season in the Big 12. It is number 12 Utah, the Utes in Stillwater against number 14 Oklahoma State. The Cowboys, last I saw, a 2-point favorite here. Craig, who are you going with here?
Well, how much time do we have? We got to go through these fast because I tell you, this is going to be an intriguing
game. We got 3 minutes.
And this could be 3 minutes. I got to hurry. So what the bottom line is here is that I like Bowman, their quarterback. This could be upset city for me. And I'm not sure about Cam Rising, even though everyone says that he is going to play. Is rust? If he does, is there rust? Don't know. I'm going with Oklahoma State at home in a very tight game. If Cam plays, it could change the whole complexity of it. But I think O State at home in a close one.
All Oklahoma right. State as well for me.
Yeah, I'm with Bowler. There's too much unknown about Cam Rising. Like if I knew for sure he was fully healthy, I could go in on the Utes winning that game on the road, but I think that gives Oklahoma State an added edge. So we all go with Oklahoma State there. Okay, game number two. A rivalry game, TCU and SMU in the battle for the Iron Skillet, Craig. TCU won last year. Who takes the Iron Skillet this year?
I've called a couple of those Iron Skillet games, and it's it's crazy. Look, TCU has been a strong program for years, but after watching SMU play a couple of weeks ago at home, this is one of those games I tilt to the home team in a rivalry game as such, so I'm going to go SMU.
We've seen SMU. They're good. I think TCU's pass attack's too good. Fifth nationally in the country with Josh Hoover. Give me the Horned Frogs.
I want SMU to win. It makes BYU look better. But I do think TCU is a little fired up after letting that lead against UCF escape a week ago. So I'm going to go with Jerem here. I take TCU. Okay, on to game number three. BYU's opponent after this week is Baylor on the road. But this week it's Coach Prime. Deion Sanders in Colorado taking on Baylor. Who wins this game, Craig?
I'm going Baylor. Look, I like Colorado at times, but the complexity of that program bothers me. And, you know, Shadur, talented, but yet issues, right? I think you guys see that. Coach Prime, it's always about Coach Prime. But Baylor showed me something despite the loss a couple of weeks ago. Look, I call a lot of Baylor games too, and it's a whole different level of what Art Briles used to do when they passed and passed and passed the ball. But I think Baylor goes in there and causes trouble for Prime and Colorado.
I have Baylor as well, 12th in the country in points per game allowed. They're going to shut down Colorado a bit.
I have no idea what to do with Colorado. I've been wrong about them every week. And I'm picking I want to go with Baylor, but just because I've been wrong, I'm going to take Colorado on that logic alone. Okay, let's go rapid fire for these last four. Kansas at West Virginia. Who wins? Do the Jayhawks get off the schneid after losing to UNLV?
Yeah, that was interesting, isn't it? They were highly thought of and praised in the preseason. I think they jump back and make a big win at West Virginia. It's a great crowd there. I've been there multiple times. But I think Kansas has finally got their program on track, and I go with the Jayhawks. It's hard for me to do. I mean, we battled those guys, 40 miles away, Manhattan to Lawrence. But, yeah, I think Kansas on the road in one of those road wins that they're going to need, by the way, along the way on this journey to the Big 12.
Take me home, country roads, give me West Virginia.
Morgantown's so tough to play. West Virginia by maybe like 1 point. Okay. All right, Houston at Cincinnati. Craig, who you got?
I'll go Cougars this week. Again, another road win. I'm picking too many road teams. So when we talk again down the road, you'll probably say, Bowler, you were 2-5. And that's kind of the way it's going to turn out. But no, I'm going to go road team. And then I know you're hurry. I'm going to go another road team with Arizona State. They're 3-0. I like the way they play. There was a wild game with the Cougars a few years back with Arizona State, if I'm not mistaken.
So,
I'll go Sun Devils.
Okay.
I'll go Houston and Texas Tech in the next one with Arizona State.
I'm taking Cincinnati, the home team, and Arizona State to upset Texas Tech on the road. Okay, final game, Bowler. 10:30 Eastern, ESPN, your Wildcats of Kansas State at
BYU.
Here
we go. Look, it's a 6.5-point spread the last time I guessed. Look, they picked to win or one of the top picks to win the Big 12. This is a game they have to prove their worth. I like Avery Johnson, the young, soon-to-be 20-year-old out of Wichita, Kansas. I followed his career some from high school to college. look, he's got some deficiencies in the passing game, but I really think he's really finding his comfort level. Here it is, guys. If Kalani's defense can stop him off the edge, his speed is tremendous. We saw it last week. And I'm anxious to see what the defense of BYU can do.
You got it.
I know you got to go. Kansas State, I'll take K-State.
You got it, brother. Hey, we appreciate you and love you.
Thanks, Bowler.
We're taking BYU. Go Cougs.
Go